In Garnet Hill on Renfrew Street, taking up the block between Scotch Street and Dalhousie Street, we can see Charles Rennie Mackintosh's masterpiece, the Glasgow School of Art. The building suffered from a fire in May 2014 and is currently being restored, so we can't go inside. But while the work is being done, expert on the building, architect Mark Baines, takes us back to school, giving us insight into a building that's still revealing its secrets.
I was standing opposite the main entrance to the Glasgow School of Art, designed by Charles Rennie Mackintosh. The first half on the left was completed just before the 20th century, and the second phase, the West Wing, completed in the decade following the 19th century. So it's a building which spans into two time periods, from a Victorian into an Edwardian. This is very important because also, obviously, Mackintosh himself was 10 years older and more mature. He came to complete the West End, and this is evident in the quality and nature of the detailing of the building. The front facade is all studios and is about light from the very top down to the basement. There's probably more area of glass than there is masonry on this facade. The entrance is in directly in the centre, implying a symmetry, but if you look closely, you'll see a whole series of games being played with asymmetries and offsetting windows. For example, there are 3 5-bay windows, studio windows to the left, and 4 to the right. There are games in terms of the railings, a kind of contrapuntal rhythm against the asymmetrical arrangement of studio windows behind. There are numerous other details which one could go into. The director's office is directly above the main entrance. It takes the appearance of a sort of townhouse embedded in what could be a factory wall. The actual entrance, I say, is on axis, and when you proceed into the building, the first flight of the main stair, which takes you up into the museum, which is top lit, is directly on that axis. The second flight up will shift the axis across asymmetrically, and that displacement of the museum space creates further asymmetries in the arrangement of the plan of the building. The plan itself occupies a full half city block on part of Glasgow's gridiron street pattern. It is a very simple plan, E-shaped at the principal levels, a full rectangle at the base, and a more asymmetric and interesting arrangement on the top levels, as we'll see. If the front is all about north light, and the rear, or the south facade, and the west facade is very much about controlling sunlight, light is always filtered through a series of gridded apertures of different scale. Colour is used minimally, only on little stained glass panels into certain doors. The rest, as I say, through various gridded, fenestrated, or gridded windows, basically. Okay, we are up in the museum at the heart of the Glasgow School of Art. If I'm looking at the director's office at the head of the stair, to my left would be a passage which would have taken you to the library. On the right, it goes to what's called the Mackintosh Room, which is basically where the Board of Governors currently meet. The studios are behind the spine wall, which is constructed of brick and which also carries a fairly innovative system of heating and ventilation, which arises from the basement. This is no longer working, but it could possibly be restored at some point in time. While simple in plan, the range of studios at the front is basically a subdivisible set of spaces of different, slightly different proportion each from the other. The rooms, or the spaces to the rear of the building, are more special. The lecture theatre, the former architecture school, the library store, and the botany studio on the very top floor. Professor's studios lie along the roof. The principal space, the museum, as I say, is top lit, and which allows light all the way down into the basement. And whilst the plan is very simple, the building is much more complex in section. If you notice on the half landings of not only the main stair, but the stairs to the east and the west, you'll notice a whole series of rooms of different size. And that's very important in architecture, that each room is the correct proportion in terms of its height to its depth, and of course, according to its purpose. So the rear has a whole series of spaces, toilets, former dining room, various offices, which are discreetly tucked out of the main circulation system. You'll notice, again, that if you travel to the east, you'll find a toplet gallery space serving the studios. If you travel to the west, you'll see a sidelit gallery with seating embedded, actually, into the wall, which is a very incredible kind of detail. And beyond that, you would have seen the gridded structure of the library itself. If we go to the east and we go up the stair, you'll notice very early on that the stair actually wraps around two bay windows, which were part of the Macintosh room. This is because the stairs, for fire reasons, were added later. And you notice how, this is just one example of Macintosh's ingenuity, is how he enlarges the windows in the stair at that point to maximise the amount of light that will penetrate the room behind. If we go further up the building, we'll notice that every window on every level is different. Every tiled pattern, the little square tiled patterns, are different on each landing. And when we get to the top, the central masonry spine is transformed into a wrought iron grill. And we go from there into a dark passage. The rooms on the south are often darker panelled wood, and originally actually brick, now painted white. And then you pass from that passage, which is dark, into the hen run, which is sparklingly bright with a fantastic view of the city. From there, this bypasses actually the director's studio to the north, because it's all on different levels. And if we go through there, we go into the loggia, like a basement actually on the roof. And here we have bays where students and staff can sit and read and again look out over the city. From this vantage point, you can also see the cantilevered greenhouse, which was attached to the botany studio, and that was for propagating the plants which the students would be painting. The botany studio itself, in its former form, has, again, a bit like the museum, four freestanding columns and a fairly simple but nevertheless elaborate, possibly influenced by Japanese architecture, a kind of roof structure. And that frames, as in the museum, the trusses do, frames the roof light, which is both north light and south light, coming from both sides of the pitched roof. In the basement, by contrast, the heavier workshops, the studios for sculpture and so on, again, they are basically, if on the south side, they are top lit, because sculpture is quite good on sunlight. And on the north side, it's for more specialised functions. It also contains the boiler room and originally the coal house. But again, if one is in the basement, you're still exposed to natural light. Sunlight comes in from high-level windows above the doors. The doors down here, because it's a sculpture studio, are in two parts. There's an upper part which can be opened, as well as the lower part for presumably taking large-scale sculptures in. Throughout the school, you'll actually see a whole series of plaster casts, one of the few art schools, I believe, which still retains a great collection of casts. This is, again, adds a lot of character. The Winged Victory in the museum itself is a kind of classic of its type.